First of all, beginning a word of prayer, and tonight is going to be the last lesson as far as the tapers and right here are concerned in this segment of our study on spiritual life. So let's prepare ourselves in prayer that the Spirit can open our eyes and guide us to see what He wants us to see in regards to loving as Christ loved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to be here tonight, to open up the Scriptures and to be able to comprehend this aspect of being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ by loving as He loved us. That being the mark of one who truly belongs to Jesus Christ in a sanctified way through the church history. We pray, Father, that You will open our eyes to see these things. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, now where we have journeyed to get to the point where we are, and then when we're back to the spiritual love again, we'll be in a whole new section. But we have studied the new commandment is to love one another, and now up from the old law, not to love one another as you love yourself, but to love one another as Jesus Christ loved you. Then we saw the cause of this love is God the Holy Spirit. The flesh cannot produce this love. The cause of this love is the Holy Spirit. Now, the next thing we saw was the means. The means of ourselves acquiring the work of God the Holy Spirit of this love is our faith. By faith in the Holy Spirit to produce in us that which He was sent to do, and that is to give us this love. Then we went to the consciousness of spiritual love. This was very important. In Ephesians, Paul says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what we're talking about with the consciousness of this love. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit, but we're not as zombies or in some type of mystic relationship with God, nor are we something like in a drunken state and not know what's going on. We are conscious of the love that is being poured and produced in us. Then we noted, and this is where we are now, the person of spiritual love. And we'll finish this aspect of our study this evening. And under this, we have come to the point, first of all, we started off with, here's the person, but so that we can all see it, but I'll just go to the next page. But we're dealing with the person of this love. People, it is so important that you understand spiritual love, that we understand spiritual love through a person. It is not some abstract, dislocated concept, definition of love, like we do in the physical world or in the human world, in the secular world. We have this ideal of love, and then we try to make that fit our marriages, fit our relationships, fit our family. You can't do that with spiritual love. You shouldn't do it with human love either. But spiritual love is known, and it is known in a person. It is not whatever you want it to be. It is not just some concept out here, some abstract theology. Spiritual love is known in a person, and that's so important. You cannot think of love and try to force this on yourselves or on other Christians, some abstract concept of love. What love is and isn't. Love is known in a person, and we spent some time, first of all, love is known in God. You want to say God the Father, that's fine, but all three members of the Godhead is fine also. Love is known in the person of God. So first of all, love is known in a person. Love is known in the person of God. We dealt a little bit on that concept of a person. If that bothers you, calling God a person, you say the being of God, whatever fits your theology, I'm not going to argue that. Now, why is love knowable first and foremost in God? One, because God is love. That's why. God is love. God is the source of all love. So we've studied a lot of things in dealing with how love is knowable in God. Then, this is actually point one, this is point two. Then three, love is knowable in the person of Jesus Christ. And this is where we are at this time. Love is known in the person of Jesus Christ. You are not going to know, this is very important, you're not going to know Jesus Christ if you're not filled with the Spirit and loving as He loved. We know this from John 14. To those who love Me, and the way that we love Him is when we're walking in the Spirit, and the Spirit puts that love toward Jesus Christ, to that one I will disclose Myself. And we've spent a lot of valuable time right here. How do we know Jesus Christ? The only way you're going to know Jesus Christ is if He discloses Himself to you. And it's not just a matter of opening the Bible and studying Scripture, because people do that throughout all history of the church and never come close to this love. It is the love that is given by God the Holy Spirit. The love is directed toward Him. And when that love is directed toward Him, He will disclose Himself to you throughout your life. As He discloses Himself to you in the power of the Spirit, that's part of this whole transforming process. You become to know Him. We spend time in the physical realm, the earthly realm. To whom do we disclose ourselves in life? Most people do not disclose the innermost self to just anybody. Many people, because of hardness of time, build a wall around themselves and will disclose themselves to no one, because that person may find out things about me, then they won't love me, so I'll just hide these things about me. But when we feel comfortable in love, we will disclose ourselves. Jesus Christ is not unlike. I will disclose Myself to those who love Me. And then we had the conversation with Judas, not Iscariot, but the other one, and how and why this is all comes about in John 14. So as He discloses Himself, you get to know Him, you begin to be transformed into His image. And that brought us to Ephesians chapter 5. So let's open the Scriptures to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And we are going to finish it up now, our study, which has been so important in this where we have been going in this trip. Verse 1 of chapter 5. Therefore, and again, that's very important coming off of the previous chapter. Forget chapter breaks. Chapter breaks are not inspired. Verse numbers are not inspired. They're just good handles so that we can communicate where we are in a given letter. If we didn't have chapters and we didn't have verse numbers, and we were trying to be together, you know, we say, well, the 5th line down or the 20th line down or something like that. This helps us, but it's not inspired. So forget chapter 5 break. You're coming off of verse 30 of the previous chapter. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. Now, that's defined for us. No, not defined, but described for us. Verse 2, and walk, or this is done, this is accomplished. How am I going to be an imitator of God? People, if you think about it, just take that, we would all stand back, I hope, and laugh at it. There is no way I can imitate God. We would laugh at that. Yet it says, be imitators of God. So how do we do that? In the power of the Spirit. And then it tells us, even, or this is how, walk in love. Then we look up the next phrase, just as, there's that phrase again, it is so fundamental. It's the kind of thing that speed readers miss, the kind of thing that a lot of Christians miss, just as Christ loved. You don't get to do it as you think it should be done, or as your church does, or this person does, or that. No, got us just as here. Just as Christ also loved you. Now, how did He love? Okay, we saw this. Nothing will make greater demands on your life than to love as Jesus Christ loved you. Nothing. So how did He love? And offered, loved you and gave Himself up for us. That's how He loved. Most people love for their own benefit. I love you, therefore you ought to sacrifice everything for me. No. Spiritual love is, I love you, I sacrifice everything. That's tough. And it can only be done in the power of the Spirit. Especially when they have failed you, sinned against you, done something to bother you, as we saw in the previous verses. So you don't want to forgive, you don't want to do these things, but we love as Jesus Christ loved us. So how did he love? He loved sacrificially and gave himself up. Now, the next phrase, an offering and a sacrifice to God. Okay. Last week we ended up with the distinction of sacrifice and offering. We looked at the Greek words, the Hebrew words, and we saw that this idea that a lot of preachers do, one deals with bloodless sacrifice, the other deals with blood sacrifice. The word sacrifice refers to blood, and the word offering to bloodless. That does not hold up. That has not held up from Genesis chapter 3, where we are, Genesis 4, 3 and 5, 3 through 5, where Cain and Abel's gift were called by the same word. So that isn't going to hold up all the way through study. Now, having dealt with that, and very important, don't miss, to God. Offering and sacrifice to God. People, when you love, here's me, our faith directed toward the Holy Spirit pours spiritual love in us. This spiritual love is directed toward one another. They become the benefactors of our love, but I want you to never forget, your love is to God the Father. See, when people deal with forgiveness, let's just take that since that's the whole framework of our study in the previous chapter. One thing that people do with forgiveness is they look at the person. They look at this person that they're going to forgive on any aspect of spiritual love. You can't do that. What you look at is, this is what my sacrifice, my offering of this love is not to them. It is to God, people. It is to God. It is not to them. They become the benefactors. Jesus Christ offered himself up to God. We are the benefactors. We benefit by his sacrificial love. And this is what you have to realize, is we get so occupied, this love is from me going towards you. No, it's from the Holy Spirit through you to God. Because our love should draw attention to God, not to ourselves. Namely, to the person of Christ, who is what? In the image of the Father, therefore to God the Father. But your love is not directed so much toward them. Others will benefit. But your love is an offering and a sacrifice to God. Now we close tonight with the phrase, as a fragrance aroma. Oh, people, we could spend a long time here. We're not going to, but this is so important. And this is something that we have not emphasized. And it needs to be emphasized, and I'll just put it in this form. Your love must be acceptable to God. It doesn't matter about man. It doesn't matter what man thinks or doesn't think. Is your love acceptable to God? That's why our love is a sacrifice and an offering to God. Therefore, if you understand that, the way that I love you, another believer, is acceptable to God. Is it acceptable to God? It is an offering and sacrifice to God. Yes. This person that you're forgiving, this person that you're working with, this person for whom you're laying down your life, as we saw in 1 John 3:16, they will benefit. But it's between you and God. It is not between you and them. And this becomes very important. It will help you when you really don't want to love someone in the manner that we're going to study in 1 Corinthians 13. They don't deserve this. They don't deserve kindness after what they've done. You're not doing it to them. This love is not offered to them. This is an offering to God. This is where it is. If you concentrate on them, no, you're not going to want to, and you're not even going to want to be in the Spirit. Just like I like to kid and say, 1 John 3:16, we know love by this, that He laid down His life for us. We ought to lay down our life for one another. Most Christians want to say, I'll lay your life down, not mine. But what we have to understand is our love, when it is in the power of the Spirit, is an offering and a sacrifice to God. And therefore this phrase, is your love acceptable to God? A fragrant aroma. The effect of the manifestation of your love, of this love here, is a fragrant aroma. It must be acceptable to God, not to you. So is your love? This is an offering and a sacrifice to God. When you love, it is directed towards God. In other words, it's an offering and a sacrifice to God. So this becomes very, very important. Now, so often the expression of our love, what? Pleases us. Think about this now. So often the expression of our love pleases us. Hopefully it will please the other person. I've used this example before, occasionally in this study. A man buys something really wonderful for this woman, and just to be funny, he puts a lot of money and builds her a beautiful pool costing $25,000. She isn't appreciative. She doesn't swim. She doesn't like to swim. She doesn't sunbathe. She doesn't do anything. He wanted to please himself. And he wanted her to accept it. Now, people, we don't think of ourselves. Most of the time we do. Most of the time, the expression of human love is to please us. Make me feel good that I do this. But this kind of love, is it going to please God? Is this love acceptable to Him? Is it a fragrant aroma to Him? Is it a benefit, a real benefit to this other person? It's a wonderful gift, a $25,000 swimming pool. But it's not a beneficial gift to that person. Not at all. It's not what they wanted. So, is my love, expression of my love, beneficial and acceptable? Is it acceptable to God, beneficial, spiritually beneficial to the other person? Now, Christ loved us with a love that was what? Acceptable to God. A fragrant aroma. This is the standard of love. If you please, this is the test. This is the test of love. Is it acceptable to God? Is the way that you treat one another, when especially when the other person sins, because that's when it's tough, is that the way God loves? The way you may talk, slander, all those things in the previous verses, how you treat them, are they seeing how God loves? Are they seeing the love of the cross? Where Christ laid down His life for us, or not? Is it acceptable to God? Does it draw attention to who and what God is? So the true standard of love is not whether it pleases you, but does it please God? One of my problems with promise keepers, first of all, the whole foundation of making promises is wrong. That's not in the Bible. The foundation is not promises and trust. It's spiritual love. But they say, I want to be the kind of husband my wife wants me to be. No, that's wrong. You want to be the kind of husband God wants you to be. Because often we don't even know what we want from our husbands and wives. We don't know what they really need, what I really need. God does. So we want to be the kind of husband, we want to be the kind of wife God wants us to be. Then it'll be acceptable to God. So is the love acceptable to God? God, not man, determines what sacrifices are pleasing to Him, what offerings are pleasing to Him. In order to express your love towards someone else, you're filled with the Spirit and you're thinking about how Jesus Christ loved. Love one another as Jesus Christ loved you. You're occupied with the Lord. In order to evaluate our love, we must think about God. Is this acceptable to Him? Okay, a fragrant aroma. Referring to what pleases God. Referring to what propitiates, what glorifies God. Now, I'm not going to spend a great deal of time here with fragrant aroma. we'll hit it a little bit tonight, because in our Easter special, we're going to be looking at the Day of Atonement, and we're going to be looking at the book of Leviticus, and it's all through the book of Leviticus, the fragrant aroma concept. This is a type of phrase like the blood of Christ on Wednesday night from John, 1 John, the blood of Christ, all these things. A lot of these things you have to correctly understand the Old Testament to understand this concept in the New Testament. Fragrance of aroma doesn't really do anything for us. But boy, did it do a lot for Israel. A great deal. It communicated a great deal. What is it? An expression of. It is an expression of the problem of sin, the problem of the sinful status of man before God is what? It's putrefying. It is a very, very putrefying, displeasurable odor that disturbs the holiness of God. And that putrefying fragrance had to be removed. It could not be removed by just getting one of your spray cans, we all know what that does, and just spray over what's really there. This doesn't hide it. This is going to have to be something that will completely remove that putrefying smell of sin. And that is what the death of Christ is. That is what his sacrifice is. That's what the laying down of his life is. It is something that takes the putrefying smell of man, and what goes up to God is not that smell, because Christ removes that by taking our place. And what goes up to the Father in the sacrifice, the burning sacrifice, is something that is pleasable to God. And so God now, as it were, doesn't see or deal with the sins because they're dealt with. The smell of our sins doesn't go up to Him. The smell of Him who took our place goes up to Him. That's how much He cared about us. And that's how we are to love one another. We don't want to, that whole list in chapter four, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slandering, all this stuff, all malice, all this stuff. What we don't, the spiritual love, it doesn't keep the smell going. What spiritual love does, it removes that putrefying smell of sin and brings up to God a fragrant aroma and a pleasing aroma to God. Most believers are impressed with their love, how beautiful their love is, but God is not impressed with our love. Just like He's not impressed with our righteousness or filthy rags before Him. It is the love that is of the Spirit, that is of His Son, Jesus Christ. So, many will claim love, but it is not the love that God is looking for. What is the love that God is looking for? What is the love that pleases God? The love that pleases God is His own love. That's why our first step, our only step, is faith in the Holy Spirit. This love is of the Holy Spirit. Get ready now when we go to 1 Corinthians 13 and we'll study 16 impacts of spiritual love. It is not you who is long-suffering. It is not you who is kind. It is not you who bears all things. The subject is love. The love produced by God the Holy Spirit. That is what produces those things. You are not kind. You are not long-suffering. Love is. So when He pours His love through us, this is what we look like. This is the love that will be acceptable to Him. Jesus Christ is our standard of what is going to be acceptable to God. He is our standard. We never go wrong loving as Christ loved. It may not be what we want to do. Maybe what we want to do is get even. Maybe what we want to do is revenge. Maybe what we want to do is walk away. A lot of things. But this love is a love that isn't what I want. This is a love that what God's love will do. That is what is a fragrant aroma to Him. Let's note a few things about a fragrant aroma. One, this means that the manifestation of love. This means in our text that the manifestation of the love of Jesus Christ was acceptable to God. It was acceptable to all that God is. His holiness, His own love, it measured up to everything that God is. Two, this is why Jesus Christ demonstrated his love as he did. How did he demonstrate his love? By offering himself as an offering and sacrifice. Why? So that it would be pleasurable and pleasing to God. So that it would be pleasurable and pleasing to God. Now, I want to make a fine distinction here, and I hope you can follow it. God did not accept the love of Jesus Christ just because it was his Son. His Son offered that love to him because he knew what the Father wanted. To word it another way, not being blasphemous, if Jesus Christ loved some other way, it would not have been acceptable to God. If Jesus Christ would have said, well, I'm only going to save people who are good, and I'm not going to save those who are bad, no matter if they believe in me or not, God the Father would not have accepted that. That would have been a repugnant smell. So it wasn't just because it was his Son. What I want you to see is his Son loved that way because that's what the Father wanted. Now, that brings us to us. You may not, in the flesh, want to love this way. You don't want your love to benefit this person because they don't deserve to be benefited. But I want my love acceptable to God. Therefore, I'm going to move in the Holy Spirit and allow spiritual love to change my whole way of thinking. I like the way that Lewis Berry Capers, founder of Dallas Theological Seminary, worded it. It's a bona fide prayer. God, give me the desire to even desire to love as you love. So that's what, if sometimes we reach a point with somebody, I just don't want to forgive, I don't want to love, I don't want them to come out of this as if everything was, well, so what I've got to do is go back into prayer and say, Father, I don't desire that they be benefited by my love. So I'm praying now, I desire the desire, and that's a prayer God can answer. I desire the desire to love as Jesus Christ loved me. And then move into the power of the Holy Spirit by faith, and he begins to change your very soul and your temperament at that very time in your life. So this becomes very important. This is what Jesus Christ demonstrated. What did he say? I did not come to speak my words. I did not come to do my work. And if we could paraphrase it, I did not come to do my love. I came to love as he desires love. Love that will please him. And the love that will please him, he laid down his life for his enemies. So this is the love that will please. Point three. Jesus Christ knew the love required by the Father. Jesus Christ knew the love required by the Father. Without that, he could not have offered this love. Now, this takes us back into our study in dealing with this aspect of knowing. Why do we have love described as in 1 Corinthians 13? Love is long-suffering, kind, not boast, not jealous, not arrogant, not after unbecoming, bears all things, and so forth. Why is it there if I can't produce this love? It is there so that we will know the love that God does require. So that we will know I can't do that. I can't produce that kind of love. I cannot produce the love described in 1 Corinthians 13. Not only can I not do it, there are a lot of times I don't even want to do it, if I'm honest. So therefore, it's there so though that we will know. Jesus Christ knew the love that would please the Father. And we're going to have a little later. See, there's a theological question, and it's an interesting question to think about sometimes. When you have nothing else to think about and argue with somebody about, this is a good one, and that is, God is love, but is it love to sacrifice his own Son? Why is that love? How is that so great? Yes, it's great for us, but dealing just with the Father and the Son. Okay, that's part of the story of Abraham and Isaac for us, but the main thing here is, that Jesus Christ chose because he knew the love that was acceptable to the Father. And he will tell us in the Gospels, the Father loved me because I laid down my life for the sheep. Because of the way that I love, the Father loves me. See? Because I love the sheep and will lay down my life for them, because of that, the Father loves me. So So what you and I come to this point is, I want a love, not that will satisfy me. I want a love that will be acceptable and pleasurable to him. So therefore, we know what love he desires. We got that understanding. The Spirit pours it in it, and I want my love to be that love. It isn't my love, it's his love. So I want that love to flow through me. Very important point. So Jesus Christ, point three, knew the love required by the Father. He understood that love, just as we can study all the descriptions of love and all these things. Now we have to decide if we want to do that. And Jesus Christ said, I want to do that. I want to love in this manner. If you're going to love as Jesus Christ loved, you must know his love. You must know how he loved. And how did he love? He loved by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why you and I can do it, because we have that same Spirit in us. Point four. God is not pleased with the demonstration of your love just because you call it love, just because you claim love. See, in the Epistle of James, Christians claimed faith. But James says, that's not the faith God is looking for. Your faith is dead. In the Epistle of 1 John, they claimed love. That's wrong. It's not the love God is looking for. You have hate for one another. You resent one another. Don't say you love. Just like James said, don't say you have faith, because it's not the faith God is looking for. This isn't the love God is looking for. God is not acceptable with what you and I may call love. Live and let live, tough love, impersonal love, a lot of words we give it so that it is a love, all right, but it isn't the love God is looking for. But we can satisfy ourselves and walk away, oh, I am loving. I am loving. Because we've got our own definition of what it is. People that walk by the man on the road, they walked on by and they can look and see, oh, we're loving people. We love people in our assembly and all of this stuff. No, the person who loved was the Good Samaritan. That's the love God is looking for. But make no doubt about it, the other religious people who walk by, they will claim love. They will work their mind around so that they do not have to do what love demands. And what love demanded was walking over to the man, picking him up, cleaning him up, taking him to the innkeeper, pulling out the money to the innkeeper. And who's the innkeeper? Who's the Good Samaritan? Jesus Christ. Okay. To whom does he turn us over to? The Holy Spirit. The innkeeper is the Holy Spirit. What's the time frame? He gave him, I reckon, 2 weeks. 2 is a number related to the church. The picture of the church. Turned over to the guardian, custodianship of God the Holy Spirit. Another helper. Jesus Christ is our first helper, salvation. The Holy Spirit is our second helper, sanctification. So they work together in this respect. But what we're looking at is the love. And people, Christians, will treat each other unbelievably and claim love. Well, you can claim all you want. You can claim all you want. It isn't the love God is looking for. And that's the only love that is acceptable. That's the only love that is a fragrant aroma. It's like in the human realm. Man says to a woman sitting on the couch, chili stains all over his T-shirt or undershirt, I love you. You know? Well, no. You can claim that all you want. And you can fool yourself. But I know you don't. Because I know what love does. See? So, if you know what love does, and we know what love does, don't we? We know what love does. Love lays down its life for our benefit when we're enemies. So we know this is what love does. And we can't fake it. Now we can lie to ourselves, deceive ourselves, and claim love, but this is the only love that is acceptable. So Jesus Christ knows the love of God. And he knows what will please God. So he sacrifices himself as a fragrant aroma to God. Four, God is not pleased with the demonstration of your love just because you call it love. We are to love in such a way that pleases him. A love that is a fragrant aroma to God. A wonderful, pleasant aroma. We don't appreciate in our society this concept too much. Most, and I'm not talking, I know there are segments of society that can and all that, but I was just talking about in our lives. Most people take a bath once a week. Okay, most of us take one once a day, even if they don't need it. We take one. In fact, there are people who say Americans bathe too much. They're washing off the skin. Okay, I haven't seen any American walk around with no skin, but anyway. But we basically, all the perfumes and the colognes and the aftershave and the deodorant and all, I mean, we just pile this stuff on. So we don't think of it too much unless you're sitting next or being next to somebody who didn't. Then you'll get a feel of what this means. But the nostrils is one of the wonderful ways that God chose, and we'll see this in Leviticus, was one of the wonderful ways in which God chose to teach people to whom what they smelt was very important. Because they didn't live in a society filled with baths and showers and colognes and aftershave lotions and perfumes and all that kind of stuff. They just roamed around in the wilderness. They roamed around, they worked, and then went down to the river and took a bath maybe. Okay. So this communicated to them. They knew when they... A pleasant aroma wasn't all the time. And they knew a pleasant aroma. And it becomes something very important, like the perfume poured on Christ and the embalming perfume and the different things that we do, put this embalming perfume that was given to Christ. Myrrh is. Myrrh is a beautiful perfume you put on a body that is dead so that the decay smell will not be offensive. So the decaying smell is our sin for faith. The pleasant aroma is what Jesus Christ laying down his life, taking that from himself. So it the demonstration of our love is whether or not it is the love that God wants is what is going to be acceptable to God. Not because you deceive yourself and call this love. Well, I can just live and let live. I can do this to this person and call it love, tough love, a lot of words we have. No, there's only one standard. In a person. It's not a philosophy. It's not an ideology. It's not even a definition. It's a person. Does your love measure up to his love? Does your love measure up to what he did? That's the only thing we have. Love is known in a person. You don't get to sit down and make a big philosophy class, a big theology class, defining love. One of the most relieving days in my life was when I realized the Bible does not define love. The Bible describes love. And it was a wonderful day when I met a physics teacher who showed me that the same thing is true of gravity. We do not know gravity. We cannot define gravity. They don't know how gravity works, but we can describe it. We can describe a concept of what it's not and when it is. And that's what the Bible does. It describes when love is. We know love by this. How? He laid down his life for us. Love is known in a person. So people, whatever you're thinking about, am I in spiritual love, is my love the kind of love? Here's your thing. You don't sit there and get to philosophize and talk about, yeah, but this would be good. That. No. How does it compare to right here? Right here. How does it compare to the cross? How does your love compare when you were an enemy of Christ and Christ died for you? So this is what we have to deal with. So we don't want to deceive ourselves. So just because you do something and love something doesn't mean that it is going to be acceptable to God. We saw this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, or chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. What did we find? People, you can give money out until you're poor. That doesn't mean it's going to be of any benefit to you and acceptable to God. That doesn't mean it at all. It's money that is given in what? In spiritual love. That is acceptable to God. So you got those three verses. Life without God. And you're a very productive person. You're a very productive Christian to the eyes of man. But before God, you say nothing, do nothing, or nothing. Because there is no love. Love is what alchemizes everything that we do and turns it into something really precious, something valuable to and before God. So you may think I demonstrate love in this way or that way, and God will be pleased. Well, maybe, maybe not. In reality, the love may be just to satisfy you, satisfy your pleasures and what you want. And so this point that we're dealing with is the point, does it measure up to the love that Christ had? Is it acceptable to God's love? That you love one another as he loved you. How did he love? He gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. and then what? A fragrant aroma to God. There's so much involved here. It's a sacrifice, it's an offering. That's your love towards someone else, but it's also something that is fragrantly pleasing to God's smell. Question, is the way you love a fragrant aroma? Or is the way that you love called pretty much stringent smell? You have to decide. Is the way that I love, what I bring into the bedroom, what I bring into the home, what I bring into where I work, what I bring into the church, what I bring into everywhere I go, does my love, is it a fragrant aroma in this room? Or when I love, is it a stringent smell? And a lot of people, they're very arrogant, self-righteous, and all that, and they think they love, but it's a stink. It's a stink of religion. It's a stink of death. And it's far more repugnant sometimes than even a sin. So what you have to examine is just another way of looking at it, because we found many different ways of looking at it. Does the love that comes from me to someone else, is it a pleasant aroma? Is it pleasing? Is it drawing? See? A woman in the room, sometimes she is preceded by the fragrance of her perfume, and after she has left, she still remains by the fragrance of her perfume. Okay, what does your love do when it comes into the room and when you leave the room? What has your love done? Is it a pleasant aroma to others as well as to God, or is your love just stinks? And I don't want that kind of love. Because a lot of people love controlling. Their love wants to control. I love you, therefore I get to control you. I give you this, therefore I get to control you. Women and men, and their love does all these tricks. Or is your love just a wonderful, pleasant aroma to be around? Is it the kind of like a garden that you want to just try to live in? A beautiful aroma. That's the way our love ought to be. And that's the way that Jesus Christ loved. So of his own free will, he made a deliberate decision to love. So if you're going to love for Jesus, as Jesus Christ loved, what is our decision? Okay, let's see if you're with me. If you're with this right here. What is the only decision you and I have to make if we want to love as Christ loved? We only have to make one decision. What is that decision? Walk by faith in the Spirit. This is all that you and I have to decide. I want to love as Jesus Christ loved. Well, therefore, you're going to have to be very moral. You're going to have to learn lots of doctrine. You're going to have a charismatic experience. You're going to have to serve God, whatever our list is. No, the only thing we have to do if we want to love as Jesus Christ loved is to walk by faith in the Spirit, and the Spirit pours this love through us. It's a very simple, wonderful life, and it's all God praising. It isn't something that I have to do. When you get into that, you've got to do this and this and this, you know you've left grace. When you say that all I have to do to love as Christ loves is to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit, and God does all the work. That's grace. And that's the love that he is looking for. So this is the beginning and end of the decision. So Christ's love was pleasing to God. It was pleasing to his Father. So if you desire to love as Christ loves, then your love will be pleasing to God the Father. Your love must be... What was Jesus Christ's love? We saw this. In respect of self. So let's take a look. The love of Jesus Christ was beneficial, or let's say sacrificial, to self. Now, watch this. Who was the sacrifice to? God. So Christ's love was sacrificial of self. That's to God. That way you don't ever get involved in all of this. They don't deserve it. Question, did any of you deserve Christ to die on the cross for you? Does anybody here think they deserve Christ to die for them? No. We know we didn't. So you get rid of all of that stuff when you realize your sacrifice is not to this unworthy bum that you're married to. It's not to this unworthy person in your life. Your sacrifice is to God. Then his love was beneficial. It was beneficial to what? To the person who was in need. We are in need of his love. So this is the way that he loved. This is the love that is acceptable to God. A love that is an offering to him and a benefit to others whom God loves. For God what? So loves the world. All people. So your love is a benefit to others to whom God loves. Your love is an offering to Him, a sacrifice to Him. And remember what we saw about lay down your life. Laying down your life, 1 John 3:16. We know love by this, that He laid down His life for us. We ought to lay down our lives. Okay, how do you lay down your life? Does it mean die? Well, it includes that, but it means to lay down the importance of your life. I have these plans for my life today. And someone calls you in need. Some spiritual need. Well, I'm really busy today. No, I'll lay down my life. I got $1,000 and I got it all planned to deal with a stereo system or a vacation or something. And a believer calls and they are in great need. I don't mean they need to buy a stereo system. I mean they are in need. Okay, I lay down my life. I lay down the priority of my life. That's what it means. We lay down the priority of our own life. It's another way of wording, I must decrease, that He increase. I lay down the priority of my life, sacrificial of self, offering to God for the benefit of one another. See, that's how this thing goes together into being a sacrifice, and we choose to do that. Your love must be for the welfare or the benefit of others, sacrificial to God. This is what this love must be. Let's look at Galatians 2:20. Galatians chapter 2, just a few pages back. Galatians 2:20. So our love is sacrificial and is preceded by the work of Christ on the cross. He is our example. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live. So it isn't going to be whatever comes to you now isn't yours. But Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith, not in the Son of God, but of the Son of God. You said the old King James? The King James says of, and that is the correct Greek. This is the incorrect Greek. Why did they translate it in the Son of God? Because they don't understand that Christ walked by faith and loved by faith in the Holy Spirit. So, and the Greek is very clear in this passage. So he says, but now I live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Please look at Revelation 1. I've been working in Revelation, very conscious. We'll probably be seeing a lot of examples in Revelation since I'm working there, as we do in Hebrews where I'm working. Okay. Revelation, please look at chapter 1. Chapter 1. Verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead. So Christ is a faithful witness. He's the firstborn of the dead, meaning resurrection, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and released us from our sins by his blood. People, often, in talking about loving as Christ loved, I will often talk about when another believer has sinned or failed, because that's when love is greatly at a challenge. When everything is going great and they're scratching your back and you're scratching her back, everybody's happy. You do for me, I do for you, and we're all happy on the honeymoon. But what happens when the honeymoon's over? And there's failure, and now what's going to happen? So we go to the real issue. Jesus Christ said, talking to the disciples, even the Gentiles are good to those that are good to them. Big deal. Can you express this love when they have failed, sinned, and all these things, just as he did at the cross? So now let's see what we have in our passage. Verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loved us. And what is the demonstration of this love? How do we look at it? How is it described? And released us from our sins by his blood. We're studying that on Wednesday night in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. Verse 6. And he has made us to be a kingdom of priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So, love, people, is known in a person. It is known in the person of the Father. Love is known in a person, the person of Jesus Christ. What God in effect said was, okay, if you can't see it just by faith, I'll demonstrate my love, I will send my Son. For those of you who need to see it, here it is. I'll let you see it. So Jesus Christ came to demonstrate how God the Father loved. So love is known in God. Love is known in the person of Christ. So people, don't compare your love with anybody else on earth. Don't compare your love with anybody else's love. Your example of love is Jesus Christ at the cross. Period. Oh yeah, but he overturned the tables, so that gives me the right to go beat up some Christian. It's at the cross. This love is demonstrated. By his blood, he laid down his life all the way through Scripture. I've tried to give you almost all of the Scriptures that involve this. Almost all of them. This is how he loved. So, your love is going to benefit others. Your love is going to lay down your life. So love is known in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ loved by the power of the Spirit. He did not love by his deity. Had Jesus Christ loved by his deity, we could not do it. We are not God. Had he loved by his perfect humanity, we couldn't do that because we're not perfect. We have a sin nature. So how did he do it? He did it by the Holy Spirit. And what did he give us before he left the church, or before he left planet Earth and the church started? Gave to us the Holy Spirit. That's what he gave to us. So that we could love as he loved. Look at the Gospel of John, chapter 14, please. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. Gospel of John, chapter 14. And we're going to look at just one verse here. Verse 17. Verse 16 starts the sentence. I will ask the Father, relationship of God the Father and God the Son, and he will give you another helper. Jesus Christ is the first helper. We trust him. The Holy Spirit is the second helper. We trust him. Just like me. Okay, I will ask the Father. lost my place here. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. You never lose the indwelling of the Spirit. Whom the world, that is, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Now, coming off of that, let's go to 1 John. I know we're studying it in another perspective on Wednesday night, but let's look at it from this love perspective. 1 John chapter 2. So, John, we have the Holy Spirit. People, every one of you can love. It's Christ's love. Love is known in a person. God the Holy Spirit knows that person. God the Holy Spirit is going to pour that same love in you. Right, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. As for you, the anointed. It's a very good word. It's just that the charismatics have scared so many fundamentals away from it, we don't even know what anointing means. It's a very beautiful word. It means receiving the Holy Spirit, have God the Father anointing or giving you the Holy Spirit. The anointing which you receive from him abides in you. That's the Holy Spirit. And you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. Chapter 4 of 1 John. Chapter 4, verse 14. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Okay. He sent the Son, and then what happens? We have two sendings by God. Isaiah chapter 48 is very clear on this. We have two sendings by God. Here's God. God sent his Son for our salvation. God sent his Spirit for our sanctification. In other words, for love to flow through so that we can live just like Jesus Christ lived. So what we have in effect is God the Holy Spirit abiding inside of you, Jesus Christ coming in when you're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, And therefore, inside of you is the person of Jesus Christ by the presence of God the Holy Spirit. And as you learn to love as He loved, you are being transformed into His image. Into His image. Now, what's important here is this transformation, people, is taking place in your body. It's taking place in your body. You don't want an out-of-the-body experience. You don't want some charismatic emotional experience, drug-related or not, that takes you out of your body. You don't want to be out of this body. Because inside of this body, you're being transformed. Now, with the physical body, all kinds of horrible things can happen. Just like with David here, going through cancer in the body, diseases in the body. But also inside of this body, you're being transformed into the image of Christ. It's taking place. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we are being transformed into His image, and in His image is Jesus Christ, God the Father. He is the image of God the Father. So what are we seeing happening here with this love? You are now being transformed back into what image? The image in which we were in the garden. Man was created in the image of God. So as you are transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, who is also the image of the Father, you're being transformed into the image where we are in harmony with God. It's a wonderful process that God has put into store with His procedure. Okay, in closing, how will the world, now who's the world? The world is your husband and wife in the bedroom. Your world is your family. Your world is those who you work with. Your world is the local church that you attend. The world are those that you're social with. The world are those whom we just come in contact with and buying groceries and whatnot. How will the world know that you belong to Jesus Christ? Because you say so? Because you're very moral? Because of your creed and your doctrine? No. Jesus Christ makes it very clear. Love one another as I have loved you. By this, loving as I have loved you, by this, all will know that you're mine. Not your creed, not your moral righteousness, not your service, not your charismatic experience, not whatever your list is, but if we love one another. And that's very important, one another, other believers. People, it's easy to love an unbeliever. It's tough to love a believer whom we expect more out of. But will you love one another as Jesus Christ loved you? And the world, meaning angels, will learn about God. So you have to ask yourself, do angels learn and do people know that I belong to Him by the way that I love one another, the way that I treat one another? Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the passages, things we've seen tonight. The Father causes us to come right back to You. Through Your Spirit, through Your Son, to You. That this is the way You love. This is what kind of God You are. And so, Father, what we're seeing and what we're learning is about You. And we stand amazed at the awesomeness of Your love, the depth, the height, the width of Your love. It is our purpose, Heavenly Father, to walk in this life that we may be transformed into Your very image. Father, we praise You in Christ's name. Amen. No wonder everybody couldn't get in.